I am Dave Young, and I'm sure glad to be here this morning, and I'm glad all of you are here as well. I know most of you don't have a clue who we are, but we are honored to be here. Pastor has invited us several years ago, and these days have finally arrived. I think you met the main ones of us on the team. That was my wife standing beside me just a moment ago. Bethany and I, this August, will have been married 14 years. And we have four little ones with us, Abigail, Joshua, Matthew, and Jacob. And we're sure glad they're with us as well. Jason will be leading the music all week. You met him this morning. His wife, Kimberly, was at the piano earlier during our trio. And Jason and Kimberly, they've been married almost 6 years, and they have two. The Lord has given them Scott Taylor and Madeline Lee. And so you'll get to know the family as the week goes on. And we do have Gracie with us as well. You might get to meet Gracie. That's our golden retriever. And so if you go by the house right here in the parking lot, Gracie will come out to say howdy to you because she's a part and parcel of the team. We're sure glad to have her as well. And we're glad you're here this morning. In our revival campaigns as a revival team, we do our very best to be a blessing and encouragement to the church. But our number two goals as a revival team, first of all, would be to see revival in every heart and in every home in the local church. And we'll pray that way every day this week. We'll ask the Lord to use His Word to draw us closer to Him, to bring conviction of sin, to challenge us to holy living, and to conform us more and more to the image of Christ. It's also our goal to see people saved. And so if you don't know Christ this morning, we believe you're in the right place. And this would be a wonderful day for you to know Christ. And if you're inviting folks this week, we'll be praying that way every single day as well. The revival choir will start tonight. We're looking forward to that. Be here and be in your place. Be ready to go. They'll sing for us every night. And then as well, the children's revival hour starts tonight. So look forward to the entire week. It's going to be a great week. And we're looking forward to getting to know you. I know we're unfamiliar faces. I'm a Tennessean by birth. I married a Yankee. My wife's from Ohio, and so I moved north, and that's where we call home now. Brother Jason, who's leading our music, is from Indiana. He's right here in his home state, and his wife is from North Carolina. So we're trying to keep the team balanced, two Southerners, two Yankees, and we're glad to be here this week. Psalm 90 in your Bible this morning, the 90th Psalm. Psalm 90, and when you found it, if you'll stand to your feet, I'll know you're ready for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 90, the 90th Psalm. If you're standing next to a friend who doesn't have a Bible, let's share God's Word together, and that way everyone can see a copy of God's Word. Psalm 90, and by standing, we'll simply show our public respect for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 90, we'll look at the entire Psalm this morning, 17 verses, but we'll only begin by reading one. I guess I should say we'll begin by reading only one verse. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Well, that's a simple little verse, isn't it? Many of you have memorized it. Many of you know it. Listen to it again. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Simple, straightforward, easy to understand. What Moses is praying about here is, God, help me to live every day wisely. Help me to count every day important, because today may be the only day that I have. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Do you ever memorize the Bible? This is an easy one to memorize, so let's just go ahead and memorize it. You want to do it? We'll just do it right now. I'll give the reference. I'll say Psalm 90, verse 12, and you read it out loud. We'll do it two or three times, and then we'll see if we can say it without looking. Is that fair enough? How many of you are here this morning? Raise your hand good and high. All right, most of you are, so let's do it together. I'll give the reference, and you read. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalm 90, 12. Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? I'll do it again. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I think it's simple enough. Some of you already got it. We'll do it one more time and then we'll all try to do it without looking, okay? If you got to look, here's your last chance. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You think you got it? I think you do, don't you? A lot of you aren't even looking. In the balcony, don't let us down now. Everybody, if you're a guest, just jump right in and join us. Everybody together. I'll give the reference and let's try to say it without looking. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Well, that's wonderful reading. I'm going to preach to you this morning a message I'm simply entitling, Living Wisely. Are you living wisely? Let's ask the Lord's help, and then I'll allow you to be seated. Father, You know every person here this morning. You know the need of their life. You know their situation, their circumstance. Dear Lord, you know the condition of their soul. I pray for every man and every lady, every young person in the auditorium this morning who is without Christ, never been saved the Bible way. I pray that before this service concludes, this very day, they would know Christ as Savior. And our Father, as I bow before you this morning, a great majority of us in this auditorium know Christ. And dear Lord, we've set aside these next 5 or 6 days to seek you to revive every heart and every home, to draw us closer to you by your divine power, to help us to respond to the preaching of your word. And so, dear Lord, do what I cannot do today. Bring conviction to every heart. Take this passage and change our lives. Revive us again, O Lord, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. If you know anything at all about the 90th Psalm, you would be well aware of the fact that in this Psalm, Moses, the man of God, is talking to God about the brevity of life. And you know, the older I get, the more I'm aware that life sure is brief. Are you all that way? You know, when you're in the third grade, you're kind of thinking to yourself that life is going to go on forever. I remember the fourth grade. When I was in the fourth grade, I thought the year would never end. I didn't repeat the year, but it just seemed to go on and on and on and on and on. Did you ever have a year like that? That was the fourth grade for me. And yet, the older I get now, I'm not as young as I used to be, and the older I get, every passing year seems to go by faster than the previous year. Isn't that how life is? Life goes by very quickly. You know, that is one of the things Moses is talking about in this psalm. He's talking about the fact that life is flying by. None of us know for certain we'll be here tomorrow. Life goes by that fast. None of us have a guarantee of next week. No one knows for certain they'll be alive next month, or even in the year 2008, because life is uncertain. It is very, very brief. And so what the psalmist does here, this man Moses, the Bible calls the man of God at the beginning of the psalm, Moses compares our life, and in the first 6 verses, what he says is that compared to God, our life is very brief. And boy, that is true, isn't it? Because God is eternal, and you and I are not. We are finite. God Himself is infinite. Because in verse 1, he says, the Lord has been our dwelling place in all generations. I haven't lived in all generations, but Almighty God has. Compared to God, my life is very brief. In the ending of verse 2, we're not going to read all the verses, but notice at the ending of verse 2, he says, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So compared to God, everlasting to everlasting, my life is very brief. How many of you know the name J. Vernon McGee? Do you know that name? Can you hear that voice in your mind? J. Vernon McGee, when he spoke on Psalm 90 in verse 2, what he said was that this is a reference to the vanishing point of the past, to the vanishing point of the future. It is beyond our understanding. Nobody in this auditorium can fully understand what it means that from everlasting to everlasting, God is. But that is what the psalmist is saying in the 90th Psalm. So that God is eternal, and because you and I are not like God in His eternality, Moses is saying, Lord, my life is sure brief. That's in the first 6 verses. You'll find here, for instance, in verse 4, 1,000 years are but as yesterday to Almighty God. Remember yesterday? It was here, and it's gone. But God doesn't look at time as we do. God is so eternal that 1,000 years is but as yesterday. You find again down here in verses 7 and 8 that compared to what we deserve, life is brief. Do you realize that everybody in this building this morning, from those of you seated here in the balcony, to those of you on the piano side, to the organ side, and right down the middle, every single one of us deserve to die and go to hell. That's Bible truth. So that you are looking at a preacher today, if I got what I deserved, I would be in hell today. Because I'm a sinner just like you are. Every man on planet Earth deserves to go to hell. And what the Bible is saying here is compared to the judgment and wrath of Almighty God that I deserve, well, my life sure is very brief. And then he gets right down where anybody can understand it. Because what he does in verses 9 and 10 here is he compares life to human experience. Look at verse 9. For all our days are passed away. Did you catch that? Now, I want to tell you, I don't know a whole lot necessarily about life, but what I do know, I'm certain that days are passing away. I enjoyed yesterday, didn't you? It was a beautiful day. Wasn't that a beautiful day? Boy, God was good to us yesterday. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday is gone. It passes away. And here we are, according to the clock on the back wall, at 10 minutes after 11. And you know, it will not be too many hours from right now until this day will be gone too. Days pass away. And then he adds to it in verse 9 that the years are spent. We spend our years as a tale that is told. How many of you are married this morning? Raise your hand good high if you're married. I'll raise it good high if you're married. Some of you are halfway. Are you glad you're married? I love being married, don't you? My wife and I have been married almost 14 years. And you know something? It just seems like yesterday that I met her. Is that true in your life? I was a student at college, and I went to a soccer game my senior year. And you know something? I met my wife that night. I'd never met her before. I knew who she was, but I'd never met her. And that night I met her. And you know, I remember, I was just a senior in college, and I looked at my wife and thought, my goodness, she is good looking. And she looked at me and thought, what a man. That's the truth now. I didn't make that up. That is what she thought. And you know what? She looked at me and I, and we fell in love and got married. And now it's 14 years later. Boy, life goes by. I have a daughter sitting here. This coming Friday, Abigail Joy will be 11 years old. And my soul, it just seems like yesterday that this young lady was born. Is it that way with your children? Abby was just born yesterday and now she's 11 in a few days. I was in a revival meeting in Indiana when Bethley called and said, honey, I'm in labor. You better get home. Pastor, I'd already told the pastor it was closed, and I'd agreed to go to, but I told him, if my wife goes into labor, I'm out of here. And so sure enough, 3 o'clock in the morning in a Super 8 motel room, my telephone rang. I answered the Gideon Bible in the lampshade and finally got a hold of the phone, and Bethley said, I'm in labor. I was in LaPorte, Indiana, and I made that right at 7-8 hour trip home in about 4.5 hours. And an hour and a half later, that little girl seated up here was born, and it was just yesterday. Life is that way. This is what Moses is talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Can you see what Moses is saying? Moses is saying, your life and my life is very brief. Now, after he gets to verse 12, here's the heart of the psalm, verse 12. Now, Lord, my life is brief compared to you, you're eternal. And dear God, compared to the fact that I ought to die in my sins and go to hell, my life is very brief. And dear Lord, compared to yesterday and last year and 2000 and the years, compared to all of this, God, my life is going so fast. And so then he comes with his prayer and he says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teenagers, I'm glad you're here this morning, young people, and listen to me. You know what? In a Sunday morning revival campaign, you ought to stop and think about your life. Because life is brief and it is very short. You need to think about it. You need to consider this day vitally important because it may be all we have. Doesn't matter whether the oldest person in the building or the youngest. Verse 12 is on target today. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then notice how Moses prays about it. For instance, in verse 14. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. When should you start living wisely? And what he says is, the sooner the better. Earlier instead of later. Younger instead of older. You know, we ought to preach to our kids about giving their life to God. Right now. Because right now, listen, don't run your life. Don't wait till you're 35, young folks. Now your life is important. And what the psalmist prays, he says, oh, dear God, right now, while it's early, don't let me wait later to live wisely. Help me to live wisely right now, right now, right now, today. Today's important. You've got to see that, Dad. You've got to see that. You know, as a young dad, I have 4 children, and as a young dad, daddy's, especially when my kids were a little bit smaller, dads would often come to me in a revival campaign, and they'd talk about their children. And I'd have dads that, and every dad, whether it was negative or positive, what they were going to say, every dad would always say this statement. You ever heard this? They'd say, now, Brother Young, you better enjoy them. They grow up mighty fast. You know, we had 2 there for a while that were 14 months apart. We had 2 in diapers. And a dad would come, Pastor, and he'd say, boy, Brother Dave, they grow up mighty fast. And I was kind of thinking to myself, not fast enough, amen. Some of you remember those days, don't you? You were there. But, you know, they do grow up. And I've had dads come and dads say, you know, Brother Dave, I'd give anything if we could go back and start over. I'd give anything if we could go back and start over.
I've had dads say the other side, I shouldn't leave that out, because sometimes I've had dads also say, Brother David, it pays off to do what's right, and we're glad we did. But you know, I've had the negative side too. What I'm saying to you is it is important at this point of our life, right now, today, that we start early living for God. That's what the psalmist is praying about. Lord, don't let me wait till later. The sooner the better. Teenagers, now your life is important. Moms and dads, now your life is important. Start sooner the better. Younger instead of older. Right now instead of later. This is Psalm 19 and verse 14. And then in verse 15, he's praying here in verse 15 about help us to make up for lost time. There's somebody in this building this morning, and you know, when I talk about living your life wisely, the fact of the matter is, and I don't mean to be mean about it or unkind about it, but your life hasn't counted the way it should have. There's a dad in this room this morning, and you know, Dad, when it's all said and done and you look back at the children that God has given you, you've not been much of a dad. And there may be a mother here that we would have to say the same thing about. The fact of the matter is, though, here is the psalmist, and I love this because he's praying about a new beginning. In verse 15, he says, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. What he says is, dear Lord, things haven't always been the way they ought to be in my life, and I've wasted a lot of years and made a lot of mess out of things. So, Lord, it is more important now that I live wisely than ever, because I've got to make up for lost time. Bethley's dad is our pastor. If I've heard him say this once, I've heard it 100 times. Bethley's dad will say, you know, our God is a God of new beginnings. Every 24 hours, He gives us a brand new day. Every 7 days, He gives us a brand new week. Every 28 to 31 days, He gives us a brand new month. And every 365 days, He gives us a brand new year. That is the God of the Word of God. He's a God of brand new beginnings. So, Dad, you may sit here in a service on a Sunday morning revival campaign and realize, you know, I've not been the dad I ought to be. Well, I'm glad to tell you today, my God is a God of new beginnings. See, you may sit in a service like this and say, you don't know the mess I've made of my life. I don't know the mess you may have made of your life, but I'm telling you, the 90th Psalm is about you. Because you can start over today. You can live wisely from this moment forward. This is what Moses is praying about to Almighty God. And then he gets down into verse 16 and talks about his children. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Now keep in mind the heart of the 90th Psalm is verse 12. Lord, help me to live wisely. And here's what he's doing. He's saying, dear Lord, help me to live in such a way that I'm impacting my children for you. Help me to live that wisely. Oh, church, God's given us four. We have one in heaven. 4 weeks ago, we lost a baby. The four God's allowed us to stay here on planet Earth, those four. By God's grace and God's help, this verse means a lot to me. Because I want to see God work in my life in such a way that the four kids I have are impacted for eternity. Don't you covet that as a parent? I want that. You know, we sure do live in a messed up world, don't we? What a pathetically perverted and pitiful mess our world is in. But the psalmist here in Psalm 90 says, Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants in verse 16, and thy glory unto their children. Do you know what ought to motivate we as adults to live wisely? Because there's a generation behind us who needs to know the Lord, who needs to see the Lord. And it's got to start with my children. You know what? I don't want to give my life to come and preach to folks like you and not see God work in the heart of the three kids who are here and the one who's over in the other part of the building. We need Almighty God to impact the generation behind us. And what he's trying to show us in the 90th Psalm is we've got to live wisely if that's going to happen. And you know, folks in the balcony, I don't know that I know any of you in this balcony this morning. I don't know you. I don't know that I've ever met any of you up there today. But I want to tell you this. The 90th Psalm is about you. And what the 90th Psalm is trying to say to all of us is we are to live wisely in the sight of Almighty God, because our life does matter. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the truth for all of us on the main floor too. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The question is as simple as Psalm 90 and verse 12. Are you living wisely? Are you living wisely? Young folks, look at me this morning. Are you living wisely? Daddies, listen to me this morning. Are you living wisely? This is the point of the 90th Psalm. Let's talk about it in a few moments and our time will be gone. In the first place, you and I who know Christ, if we are going to live wisely, the Word of God has to be a priority in our lives. Is that a given? Would you agree with that? Is God's Word the priority in your life that it ought to be? Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 and 7 says this, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk about them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou liest up, when thou risest up, when thou walkest in the way." If the Word of God is not a priority in my life and in my home, then I promise you, and the Bible promises you, we're not living wisely. Nobody is living wisely unless God's Word is the priority it ought to be. It's not possible. Nobody ever has, and nobody ever will. It requires the very Word of God that we've stood together today and read aloud. The Word of God has to be a priority. No wonder God told Joshua, "This book of the law," he said, "shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." No wonder the psalmist said, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And in Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And in Psalm 119, verse 72, "Thy word is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." And in 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And in 133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." And in 165, the Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday morning, and we're seeking God for an old-fashioned revival. Do you know what we've got to have if we're going to have an old-fashioned revival? We've got to start living wisely by making God's Word the very priority that it ought to be in our lives and in our homes. First of all, is it a priority in your life? Do you read it every day? Do you love it? Do you live it? Do you obey it? Do you memorize it? Is God's Word a priority? Secondly, is it a priority in your home? Nobody here but us this morning. I'm going to ask a question. You go ahead and answer it, all right? How many of you do own a television? Raise your hand good and high. Raise it good and high if you own one. Isn't it a strange thing that in our generation, I'm not talking about a world that doesn't know any better. I'm talking about the church. Isn't it a strange thing that in the church today, the television has replaced the Word of God in the homes, in the church? And many of us know it's the truth. Am I right? You know, on your bulletin, you'll find information about a TV fast this week. You know why in our revival campaigns we challenge people to consider a television fast for the week? There's some practical reasons. Television is a great time consumer. And in a revival campaign, we need extra time. We certainly do. So there's a practical reason. But did you know there's a very spiritual reason, I believe. It is because television has so deadened our senses and so destroyed the influence of the Word of God in our homes that it is no wonder that we are losing an entire generation. Moms and dads, are you aware of the fact that 3 out of 4 of the teenagers alive in the United States of America have never been to church one time in their entire life? 3 out of 4. They have no influence from the Bible anymore. But we've sat in our living rooms and we've allowed Hollywood to make us laugh about alcohol. We've sat in our living rooms and we've laughed at homosexuality and all kinds of immorality to the point that our spiritual senses are so dull that we are not even aware of how far away from Almighty God that we are. You know what I'm trying to tell us today? Psalm 90 is trying to show us that none of us are living wisely unless God's Word is a priority in our lives and in our home. See, the Bible has a lot to say about our priorities. Remember Philippians 1 and verse 21? "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Not my job, not my relationships, not sports, not a hobby. My number one priority as a child of God ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel when Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if my priorities are out of line, then things are not right between me and God, because I'm only living for the now. Is God's Word a priority in your life? Is prayer a priority in your life? How many of you believe God answers prayer? Raise your hand good high. Then for crying out loud, why do we pray so little? Why do we pray so little? We believe God answers prayer, and yet we go in debt for things that we could pray in. Am I right? We believe God answers prayer, and we buy things, and We run and run and do things. We never think about the Lord's will. We never pray about God's will. We never ask the Lord to provide our needs. We're robbing our families of great blessings of seeing God answer prayer. Prayer is not a priority. You know, there's a family in this building this morning. I would have no doubt about this. There's somebody in this building this morning, and you're as saved as I am. But you know what, my dear friend? If you were entirely honest this morning, you don't even pray sitting down at a table with your family. You know, some of this stuff ought to be a given, shouldn't it? I heard about a pastor years ago that asked a little busboy one morning, he said, "Hey, son, do you pray before you eat?" And the little guy said, "Well, no, sir, my mom's a good cook." Well, I understood the little humor there. But you know a dad in this building this morning who says he's saved on his way to heaven and never prays at the table and never prays with his family. Why, Dad, don't you think your priorities are in the wrong place? Did you know, according to the Bible, there's something far more important than the house I live in and the car I drive and the clothes I wear and the nice things I can give to my children? I want to tell you, the clothes we give our children will someday perish. And I want to tell you, the money we have in the bank will someday perish. And the house we live in will someday perish. And the cars we drive will someday perish. And all the things we're in debt to enjoy in life will someday perish. But what I do with the Word of God will last forever. The prayers I pray with my family will last forever. Whether or not I make God's church a priority, those are the things that will last forever. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a generation that is not living wisely. We're too busy in the things of the world for God, are we not? We're so busy. And you know what? Busyness is part of our generation. And it really ought not to be. I mean, we've got cell phones, for crying out loud. And yet we're busier than we've ever been. We have microwave ovens. How many of you have one? Remember when they first came out? I was a kid when they first came out and everybody was scared of them. Of course, I live near Oak Ridge, Tennessee, which is the atomic capital of the world. And so, when the microwave came out, my mom and dad, you know, thought of it like an atomic bomb. They were afraid of it. And they were a little nervous about it. It took us a while. In fact, I was just getting ready to graduate from high school before we ever got one. And then we always stood away from it after we got it started. Anybody here ever do that? Or was my family the only weird one? We were nervous. You know what? We've got microwave ovens, but no more time to serve God. We have really fancy coffee pots. Isn't it amazing the coffee pots you can buy today? Woo, I'm just telling you, my parents had a percolator. Well, there are some people in this building ain't got a clue what a percolator is. We didn't have a television, Pastor. When we were kids, we watched the coffee percolate. That was our entertainment. My mom and dad had one of those, had a little glass, like, you know, a little thing about the size of this microphone in, and had a little glass bulb up there, and they'd turn on the, you know, percolator, and it would bubble up in there. You ever seen it bubble up in there? And we'd sit here and watch it. To this day, I love the smell of coffee. I can't help it. It was part of my life. You know what? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a sad generation. We have more money than perhaps any generation who's ever lived, but we have no time to serve God. We're in debt for fancy houses, but they're not much of a home. It's a strange generation that owns RVs, but no time to go camping. Have boats, and we're in debt for them. We don't have time to enjoy life, let alone serve God. And what I'm trying to say to us today, if we're going to have a genuine old-fashioned revival, we've got to sit down and take stock of our priorities and make sure they're right in line. God's Word ought to be a priority, and prayer ought to be a priority, and the church ought to be a priority, and soul winning ought to be a priority. My marriage ought to be a priority. My children ought to be a priority. I ought to pray with my family, and the Word of God ought to be read in my home, and ought to turn garbage off on the television, and ought to be cautious about going so far in debt that mom and dad have to work to make the ends meet, and nobody's home to raise the children. And we are such a mess in our generation because we're not living wisely. And you know what? The 90th Psalm is right here today, hitting us right where the rubber meets the road. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to have revival this week, we've got to sit down. We've got to examine our lives. We've got to say, "Dear Lord, what needs to change?" It may be that it's time we sell a house and buy a smaller one. It may be that it's time we get rid of a high-dollar car and buy a cheap one. Ladies and gentlemen, we are too wrapped up in the things of the world. And is it any wonder that we don't see revival like our forefathers saw? Did you know, straight east of this very city, in the city of Columbus, Ohio, in October of 1913, Billy Sunday came to Columbus, Ohio in October of that year, and they had a revival campaign that lasted 7 entire weeks. Every single night of that campaign, 15,000 souls packed the tabernacle. At the end of that 7 weeks, there was in the local churches in Columbus, Ohio, 18,159 souls added to the church. And our generation sits back and says, well, you know what? God just doesn't work like he used to work. But I'm here to tell you this morning, this God of ours has never changed. It is our society who has changed. It is our generation who has changed. And oh, if we want to see revival, we have got, by God's grace and God's help, to check up our priorities. This is what Moses is praying about. Can you hear him? Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Listen, you know, there's undoubtedly somebody sitting today and you're thinking, wow, my priorities are out of line. I don't mean this in any way bad to Moses, but you know what? You're in good company. The Bible calls Moses a man of God here. And the reason Moses writes the 90th Psalm is because he's concerned about his priorities, his life and his living. See, if we're going to take 90th Psalm and verse 12 into practice in our life, we've got to start by examining our priorities. How are you doing this morning? Are your priorities what they ought to be? Daddy, is your marriage and family the priority it ought to be? Mom, how about it? How are you doing? There in the balcony, how are you doing today? Are your priorities in line in the sight of Almighty God? In this generation, how are you doing? You cannot look at the 90th Psalm in verse 12 without examining your priorities. But you cannot look at this passage without also stopping and taking a moment to examine eternity. How long has it been since you thought about eternity? You know, those of us who are saved, eternity is as real for us as it is for a person without Christ. And we're headed for judgment. Can I ask you, Daddy, something today? Dad, how long has it been since you've been aware of the fact that there are more important things in life than how much money we have and the car we drive? If we're not careful, you and I will live our lives and someday stand before Almighty God at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and we'll realize that much of the things we gave our life to have no lasting value. They're not that important. It amounted to nothing. It's nothing. It's like bubbles in a little child's hand. They stick the wand down in there and stir it up and pull it out and blow a bubble. And it's inevitable. Isn't it amazing how silly bubbles are, and yet we go, oh. Isn't that amazing? Our generation, you can't help it, can you? We went to a family conference a few weeks ago and they had a bubble blowing contest. A representative of every family lined up in the auditorium. We're going to have a bubble blowing contest. See who can blow the biggest. And you know what all of us did? We all sat there and went, ooh. Wow. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, bubbles are bubbles. We blow them. Can you see it? There it goes. There it lands. And it's gone. I can't help but think so many times in our generation, someday we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And a lot of the things we gave our lives to are going to be just like that bubble. They're of no value. See, what I'm trying to say today is, it's not going to matter the house I lived in, but it's going to matter what I did with the Bible. It may not matter the car I drove and the clothes I wore, but my prayer life's going to matter, and what I did with the church is going to matter, and the marriage I had is going to matter, and what I did with my family is going to matter. Church, those are priorities in our generation that need to be revived again. How are you doing in the Sunday morning service? How are you doing today about your priorities? So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. May I go a step further this morning before I close and suggest to you that nobody is living wisely until they know for sure they're going to heaven? Nobody is. My kids here at the front, listen, I'm so glad you're here today. And I don't know any of you and you don't know me, but can I tell you something? If you're a young person, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, then I've got to tell you, and I wouldn't be honest if I didn't, you're not living wisely. You're not, you may be a dad seated in this middle section right here. And you know, Dad, in your heart of hearts, you do not know you're going to heaven. Then, Dad, I wouldn't be right if I didn't tell you. You're not living wisely. There's only a step between you and death. You know as well as I do that any one of us could get in our vehicle this afternoon and drive out onto this highway right here in front of this auditorium. And in a matter of moments, because of some drunk driver, our lives could be snuffed out. And we would lift our eyes in eternity either in heaven or in hell. And dear friends, you know what? Nobody in this room is ready for eternity. Nobody's living wisely until they've been saved the Bible way. Have you been saved the Bible way? Catch that entire phrase. It's important. Have you been saved the Bible way? See, there's a lot of ways folks will tell you to go to heaven, but there's only one way according to the Word of God. Some folks will say, well, now, look, you want to go to heaven, you better live a good life. But I want to tell you, according to the Word of God, nobody goes to heaven by living a good life. A lot of folks would say, you want to go to heaven, you need to get baptized. But you know something? According to the Word of God, nobody goes to heaven because they've been baptized. Why, it's amazing the answers, folks. You knock on 10 doors in Indianapolis, Indiana, and ask this question, how do you get to heaven? Knock on 10 doors, you'll get 12 different answers. Because that's humanity. But there's only one way to be saved biblically. And nobody's living wisely till they know Christ, the Bible way. According to the Bible, everybody in this room today is a sinner. Do you believe that's the truth? I can prove it to you. I can prove that everybody in this room today is a sinner. And let me just go ahead and do it. How many in this building today have ever told a lie? Would you raise your hand good high? If you don't raise your hand, please stand up. I want to talk with you. Now, quite frankly, you be honest. You be honest. If someone stood, what would y'all think? If someone stands to their feet, what are you thinking in your mind? By the liar. Am I right? How many of you know that to be the truth? Am I right? See, listen, I don't care who you are, what your background is, everybody in this building is a liar. That's kind of harsh to say, as if it's the truth. Well, I'm looking at a bunch of liars this morning. Isn't that a blessing? But it's the truth. See, to sin is to disobey God, and God's Word says you need to be honest. Sin is when God says don't and I do. Or God says do and I don't. Everybody in this section and over here, according to the Word of God, is a sinner. Everybody in this middle section is a sinner. All of you in the balcony, everybody, all of us are sinners. And what the Bible says is because of our sin, the wicked shall be turned into hell. According to God, those of us who sin are wicked. That's in God's view. That's God's sight. Sometimes we think of ourselves as, well, I'm not that bad. Remember Brother Jason just a moment ago played on his trumpet, holy, holy, holy. God is a holy God. And because He is, He looks at our sin and we are wicked. Dear friend, you know why, according to the Bible, that people can die and go to hell? It's because they're sinners. They've sinned against God. They've disobeyed Almighty God. They're wicked in the sight of God. Every soul on planet Earth is a sinner. But here's the good news I want to share with you before I go home today. And the good news is, even though I'm a sinner and ought to go to hell, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the very Son of God. And Jesus Christ lived on planet Earth, teenagers, as God's Son who loved us. And He came to this world to die for our sins, to keep us out of hell. God doesn't want any girl in this front row or any guy to die and go to hell. God wants to save us from hell. God doesn't want any dad in this room this morning to die and go to hell. God wants to save us from hell. And so God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. And He was buried. And He was risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore. You know what that means? What it means is, because Jesus died for your sins, and He was buried, and He rose from the dead, anybody in this room today who's willing to confess to God that you're a sinner, who's willing to ask Jesus Christ to save you from sin and hell, anybody who's willing to do it, in the sight of Almighty God, will be forgiven of their sins, will be given eternal life, will become a child of God, will become a Christian, not because of you, but because of Christ. He did it all. He did it all. He paid your penalty. He suffered your hell. If you're going to go to heaven, you've got to have Christ. Are you saved today the Bible way? Well, now, Brother Dave, I go to church. That's not the question. Are you saved the Bible way? Well, I've been that. No, no. Are you saved the Bible way? Has there been a time in your life you trusted Christ? You were born again? You got saved? Then why not this morning? Nobody's living wisely until you know you're going to heaven. There's a dad here this morning who needs to be saved. Dad, why not today? There's a lady here today who needs to be saved. Ma'am, why not today? Why not today? Young lady, why not today? Young man, why not today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Are you with me this morning? Two questions and I'm done. Are you living wisely? Have you been saved? Are you living wisely? Have you been saved? You got the verse in your memory? I'll give the reference, and if you can, say it out loud. Nobody here but us. You ready? Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's close our eyes for prayer, shall we? Eyes are closed. I'm in this very auditorium right now, would say, Brother David, I may not be everything I ought to be, but I do know this, I've been saved the Bible way. I knew I was a sinner going to hell. I knew it. I knew that only Jesus could save me. I knew it. And I remember very clearly the moment in my life when I confessed I was a sinner going to hell. I repented of my sins as best I knew how. And I asked the Lord Jesus to save me from sin and hell. And He did it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you can raise your hand in the balcony on the main floor that you've already been saved? Would you raise it good and high and keep it up just a moment? I've already been saved. I know I have. I've asked Jesus to save me. I know I've been saved. God bless you. Now take your hands down because I want to talk with you that just raised your hand. How many of you who just raised a hand would say, Brother Young, listen to me today. I got to tell you, I don't know that I'm living wisely. My priorities aren't the way they ought to be, and there's things I need to change in my life. I'm not living wisely. I've been careless about my family, about my home, about my priorities, about the Word of God, about prayer, about the church, about soul winning. Brother Dave, my priorities aren't what they ought to be, and I've been convicted about it already. In this revival first service, I've been convicted about priorities. Brother Dave, remember me in prayer. How many believers around the building would raise a hand because God touched your heart about your priorities? Raise it good and high. Nobody here but us this morning. God bless hands all over the building and in the balcony. Take your hands down. Take your hands down. I have one final question then. One final question. Now listen very carefully. Friend, I would not embarrass you for anything in the world. I promise you that. I promise you that. But the most important decision anybody makes in life is to be saved. It's a matter of heaven or hell. It's a matter of eternity. Who in the building today would say, Brother David, you talked at the end of your message about getting saved the Bible way. And I just got to tell you, I've never been saved the Bible way, and I need to be, and I know it. Remember me in prayer. Tell you what you do. You raise your hand and let me know that you want to be saved the Bible way. And I'm going to tell you how to pray and ask Christ to save you right there, right now, right where you're seated. Would you raise a hand good high and just let me know you'd like to be saved? I've never been saved. All right, ma'am, I see your hand. I've never asked Jesus to save me, but I want to be saved. Pray for me, Brother Dave. I want to be saved. I've never asked Jesus to save me. Is there a second person? Join this one. I'm looking across the building. Is there anybody in the balcony? Let me go to the balcony. Anybody in the balcony? And you'd say in your heart, I've never asked Jesus to save me. Anybody there? Friend, all right. Would you like to be saved today? You can. I saw your hand, and God sees your heart, son. He sure does. Is there anybody else on the main floor? There's one in the balcony, one on the main floor. Is there somebody else on the main floor? God bless you, ma'am. I'm glad I waited. God bless you, ma'am. There's three more. Is there somebody else? Me too. Me too. Pray for me. I don't know Jesus as my Savior, and I don't want to go to hell. I see your hand in yours. Thank you. Is there somebody else as well? I'm waiting, friend, for you. I know there's at least one more, surely. Now listen, you that just raised your hand there at the top of the balcony, listen to me now. Those of you here on the main floor, right now ask Jesus to save you. Right now do it. In your heart now, pray. And in your heart, pray this, dear Jesus. I confess I'm a sinner who ought to go to hell. I know I should. Dear Jesus, I've sinned. I don't want to go to hell. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and that you were buried and that you were risen from the dead. Pray that. Jesus, I believe in you. And I'm asking you to save me from sin and hell. Will you pray that prayer, repenting of your sins and believing in Jesus with all of your heart? If you're asking Jesus Christ to save you right there at your seat right now, would you raise your head good and high? I'm asking Jesus to save me right here at my seat right now. And God bless each one of you. Now, you that just raised your hands, you that just raised your hand and said you asked Christ to save you, look at me. Would you do so? Nobody else look, but just you. If you just ask Jesus to save you, when my wife begins to play the piano in just a moment, pastor's going to stand at the front with me. You come and tell pastor you asked Jesus to save you. Here's why. If you'll come, we're going to get a counselor to have a word of prayer with you just to simply love you and encourage you from the Bible. Is that fair enough? You come in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, would you stand to your feet with your eyes closed? Father, I know you're convicting our heart about priorities, so help us to be obedient to the blessed Holy Spirit's work in our life. And several have said today they're asking the Lord Jesus to save them from sin and hell. And I pray they would come and allow a counselor to encourage them. Lord, there's others in the building today who are not sure they're going to heaven and they didn't respond either way. Draw them, Almighty God, by your power, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Bethel's playing.